If you would please turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. We're going to divide it up. We're going to read verses 4 through 8 and then 16 through 20. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open here. This will be my text. As I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse number 4. Luke 12, 4. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. Verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Let's pray. Now, Father, we are in the midst of a sermon series on worry-free living. And we come to lesson 2 this morning about you don't have to need to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about your future. And we're going to see that for a believer, the future is not unknown. In fact, our future is secure. So, Lord, I ask this morning that you would help us to look into your word at a very sobering text, a text that I doubt is addressed that often because it talks about something we don't like to think about, and that's hell. And this rich young person who thought he had things covered for the future, and yet that very night he died. So, Lord, give us wisdom, I pray, as we see why, as those who have confessed Christ, do not have to worry about the future. Amen. In my 24-plus years of being your pastor at Community Bible Church, I have tried not to allow Hallmark to dictate my sermon schedule. Of course, at Easter and Christmas, I preach on Easter and Christmas, but the Hallmark holidays, as I think of them, I don't really preach about. So this morning, the message that you were probably expecting, you're not going to hear, but you're going to hear the message you need to hear. This is lesson 2 of you don't have to worry about your future. Last week, we saw you don't have to worry about your past. It was very clear that as believers, we don't have to worry about our past. In fact, last week we saw that Jesus was clear that as believers, we should not worry at all. In fact, we went as far as to say that for a Christian to worry is a sin. Worry at its root is a lack of trust in the goodness of God. We looked at the reasons why you don't need to worry about your past. The cross of Jesus Christ took care of your past. But I would imagine that the past isn't what most of us worry about. It's the future. Most of us don't lie awake at night worrying about yesterday, but worrying about what is coming tomorrow, this week, next month, years from now. It's natural to worry, of course, because the future is unknown to us. It's uncertain. Jesus knows this as well. That's why we turn to this text this morning. Now, this in Luke 12 is in the same context as the passage we looked at last week, Matthew 6. Look here at Luke 12, 22. You'll see the similarity to Matthew 6. This is maybe Luke's version of the same event, where Jesus no doubt taught this lesson more than once. He said to his disciples, Luke 12, 22, he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." So you can see that it's in the same context of the passage about not to worry that we have Luke chapter 12. Ironically, however, as we look at Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives us something to worry about. There's something about your potential future that should startle you and cause deep anxiety within you. But as we saw last week, this too is taken care of at the cross. So in verse 5, Jesus gives us something to worry about. Verse 5. "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Something to really worry about is not where you're going to spend your money, but where are you going to spend eternity? Something worth worrying about is where are you going to spend eternity? Jesus taught that every human being has an eternal destination and will either spend eternity in one of two places. Now, although Jesus talked about heaven, he talked about hell more. Why would he do this? He does it because he loves you. The most loving person ever to walk the earth spoke frequently of hell. Look at Luke chapter 13. Verse 22. "And as he was passing from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding his way to Jerusalem, and someone said to him, 'Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?' And he said to them, Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in your streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evil doers. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being thrown out. Look at Luke 16. Verse 23. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, 47. Matthew 13, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up to the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish in containers, and the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Verse 30. Matthew 25, 30. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 46. Here he sums it up. Matthew 25, 46. These will go away unto eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The most loving person ever to walk the earth said that, spoke frequently of hell. I have spoken at a lot of funerals. We have sanitized death in our culture. We do everything we can to avoid acknowledging it. But every sane person should frequently contemplate his or her death. It is the only thing in life that we're sure of. The only thing in life that we are absolutely sure is going to happen to us is the one thing we don't ever think about: death. Being prepared for death isn't about life insurance and estate planning. It's about where will you spend eternity? As the verse said, there are those who will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So the future that we're talking about this morning is the future that awaits you after death. That is something to worry about. That's what he says. Go back to our text, Luke 12, verse 5. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he's killed you has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. In other words, yes, you're going to die. But that's not the fear. The fear is where you're going. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for men to die once. That's the only thing in life we're sure of. It's appointed to man to die. And after this comes what? There's something to worry about. Standing before a holy God in judgment. Many people assume that they will avoid this judgment. Or they believe that it is a relic of an antiquated superstition. But not Jesus. Not according to the one who is actually in control of our future, our Creator, to whom we will be held accountable to. That's what it says. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, judgment. Worry about that. Now, it is good that Jesus tells us about hell so clearly. He wants you to avoid hell more than he wants you to feel relaxed. What is the point of all of Jesus' teaching on hell? He wants to give you something to worry about. It should keep you up at night. But that's why the gospel is called good news. Look at Luke 12:7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Because God loves us, he offers us salvation. Verse 8. For I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. We do not have to fear hell if we confess Christ as Savior. Now, in Matthew 13, we saw the angels are the ones who cast into hell. Here, there are the ones who guide us into heaven. If we confess Christ, if we have been saved by the blood of Christ. That's why the gospel is good news. Yes, there was a time when I should have been worried about what comes after death, but I don't have to worry about that anymore because of the cross. The cross took care of my past, and the cross takes care of my future. Let's go back to Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Let's look at it in context. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, okay, and after this comes judgment, that's the bad. But notice this, inasmuch as, okay, in other words, because of this fact that men are going to die, and then they're going to be judged. But notice verse 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, so those to those who eagerly await him. Just as sure as death comes judgment. But this judgment here is referring to both believers and non-believers. But a believer doesn't have to stand at this judgment in his sin. Christ came to remove his sin. We can be worry-free when it comes to death and hell. Jesus, if we're believers, if we've confessed Christ, has removed sin from the equation. The same things I gave you last week, why you don't have to worry about the past, are the same reasons you don't have to worry about your future. No matter what happens, the most important event in your life is the cross. No matter what happens, the most important event in your life is the cross. No matter what sins you commit, the cross took care of it. No matter what sins were committed against you, the cross took care of it. I don't have to worry about what awaits me after death. The cross has taken care of that. Now, Jesus' mission was not so much as to erase hell from our futures, but to give us heaven. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Again, yes, the death of Christ offers salvation from judgment, from eternity, from hell. But he didn't just come to save us from hell. He came to give us much more. Look at Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That is your future. Verse 5 is your future. Behold, I'm making all things new. You have nothing to worry about. You say, well, Pastor Greg, okay, that's not the future I am really worried about. But as I said last week, worry is not thinking too much. Sometimes we think, you know, worry is thinking too much. No, worry is not thinking enough in the right direction. It's not thinking enough in the right direction. Worry is thinking too much in the wrong direction. If we would spend less time thinking about tomorrow and more thinking about eternity, it would relieve much of our worry about tomorrow. Go back to Luke 12, look at verse 20. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? This man was worried about the future. As I mentioned in Sunday school, I think a couple weeks ago, this man had everything except one thing. He had grain, he had property, he had barns, he had material success, he had youth. He had everything except one thing, time. Time. He was going to die that night. He gave no thought to that. Oh, my future is secure. I got plenty to live on, plenty saved up. It's great. My investments have paid off. My future is secure. Except he forgot one thing. It's appointed that a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. So how does this future orientation with a focus on a new heaven and new earth help us with our current worries? Well, Luke 12, 22, which I read earlier, does talk about the future sense, right? Verse 22, and he said to the disciples, For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. So here he's certainly talking about the future. Verse 28, but if God so clothes the grass of the field and is alive today and tomorrow and thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. as I had mentioned a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, when we read this passage, it's a little difficult for us to relate because most of us have food in the house. Most of us have something to wear. Our choice isn't usually between not wearing clothes. It's between which one of all these clothes am I going to wear? Not, you know, what I'm going to eat, but of the selection I have, what are the... So our worries aren't so much in that respect. Our worries maybe are different. Will they like me? Will they accept me? Will I always be alone? Will the kids turn out okay? Will I have enough to retire? Even though I'm going to heaven, how will I die? When will I die? You know what? You don't know. You know what? You can't know. But here's what we do know. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now notice, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Okay, there's that future orientation. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So verse 18 says that endurance is based upon a person's ability to look beyond the physical to the spiritual, beyond the present to the future, beyond the visible to the invisible. We must look past the temporary to the eternal. Worry is thinking too much in the wrong direction. We need to think in the right direction. The eternal, the invisible, the spiritual. When we believe the Bible's teaching that we don't have to worry about the past and we don't have to worry about the future, then we are ready to talk about how not to worry about the present. We'll do that next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, it's not a surprise that a good number of people have said to me, I confess, like you, I worry. Lord, it's the human condition, we worry. But as we saw last week, the central event in history and the central event in a believer's life is the cross of Christ. We don't have to worry about the past. It's under the blood. It was nailed to the cross. We saw that. Christ overcame all that. He defeated the power of the past. But in his death, he also guaranteed us a future. We don't have to worry about that future. We don't have to worry about what happens when we die or where we're going to go when we die. We can have peace about that through the cross of Christ. So, Lord, my humble desire then this morning is that if there's someone here who has avoided contemplating death and what comes after death, that they would turn to the only one who knows, and that's Jesus. The only one who ever defeated death, who got up out of the grave, who rose again. The only one who experienced death. May they turn to Christ. Look to Christ. Lord, I would pray if they have questions, if they would like to know how that is possible, that they would talk to me or find out a Christian, a strong Christian that they know and ask them. But Lord, I conclude with this. I do pray that sometime this week, when it's least expected, that thought will pop into their mind. Where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity? Amen.